Well, to really bring the full impact of this message, I guess I need to go to the very beginning. You know, a couple of years ago, the Lord led me to step down from pastoring and to step down from being a full-time staff here at Summit and just become a part-time adjunct teacher. And the reason why is he led me and my wife to the city of Lebanon because he really wanted to use our life there. And he just had something for us there. And it wasn't a rash decision that we made. We actually prayed about it for 2 years. And we went to the streets of Lebanon and we did prayer walks there and just really seeking what the Lord had. And then finally convinced that he wanted us there, we bought a house there, and we moved there. Well, I have to tell you, nothing went as planned. Every way I thought it was going to go, it didn't go that way. And I have to tell you, me personally, I just felt like my life just fell apart there. And the Lord, for 2 years, he tested my faith every which way that he could test my faith. And, you know, there were many fears and many tears and many difficulties and struggles and a lot of pain, some deep issues in my own heart that the Lord needed to resolve. And the Lord just showed me places where fear was trying to mask itself behind faith, but it was really fear. And it was a very difficult 2 years. But looking back on it now, you know, I see I was living something that I teach my students a lot, and it's simply this. Sometimes before God can use you more greatly, he has to humble you more deeply. And I definitely went through that humbling time with the Lord. But, you know, things are beginning to level out, and I'm very glad now. I feel like the Lord is just saying, Tim, your testing time is almost over. It's drawing to an end. And I didn't ask the Lord what I got on my report card. I was afraid to ask him. But I was so grateful that he's saying the testing time is about to end. And the Lord has been really refocusing me. He's been stirring up my remembrance that he brought my family to Lebanon for a very specific reason and a very specific purpose. And the Lord has just been really stirring up my remembrance. And recently in prayer, the Lord just really began to lay upon my heart that he really wants me to begin to read and pray through the book of Acts. And as I have started reading through and praying through the book of Acts, he's just been stirring my heart again for the lost. Been stirring my heart again for the city, been stirring my heart again to reach the world with the gospel. He's been stirring my heart again to really get back into the prayer closet and begin the war in prayer against the works of the enemy, to become that prayer warrior, that intercessor that he's calling me to be. He's just been really stirring all these things in my life. And reading through the book of Acts, it's been like throwing fuel on the fire, just igniting that fire within me. But yet, as I started reading through the book of Acts, day one, the very first day, I'm sitting in my barn. I call it my barn. That's my prayer closet. And I opened my Bible, and just day number one, from the very beginning, the Lord began to remind me of something that he just wanted to stir up in my heart again. And it's something that I want to bring to you today. It's going to be very short. It doesn't need to be a long word, but I just want to share this, what the Lord stirred in my heart. But I'm just really praying it's not so simple that we miss it, because I feel like if we miss this, we have missed everything. So I'm going to be reading just a couple of short excerpts from my journal, because I really got this message from my journal time with the Lord. But the scripture, the day one, the scripture I read, don't turn there, because I have a scripture I have you turn to, but don't turn there yet. I want to read the scripture out of the Amplified Version. This is talking about Jesus with his disciples. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, to them he showed himself alive after his suffering by many convincing demonstrations. And it says, and while being in their company and eating with them, he said, and it was those words, and while being in their company and eating with them. Then were the words that just really jumped off the page and right into my spirit. And the Lord just began to minister to me that though there was a world to reach with the gospel, Jesus' joy was being in communion with his disciples. Though there was a lost world that was lying in the throes of darkness, Jesus' joy was just being in fellowship with his disciples. You know, Jesus' joy was just being in their company and sitting at a table and just having fellowship with his disciples. I mean, that was just something that really, Jesus really enjoyed, sitting at a table and just fellowshipping with his disciples. And I just want to read you something from my journal. I sensed the Lord saying to me, Tim, this is my deepest joy, and this is to be your greatest joy. Yes, I want to powerfully use your life, but your greatest joy is to be your relationship and communion with me. Your greatest joy is to be taking time to sit with me and fellowshipping with me. Tim, that's to be your greatest joy. And as I was thinking about that, you know, the Lord really impressed upon my heart Luke chapter 10, verse 20, which says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And again, from my journal, I wrote, the Lord said to me, Tim, I have anointed you, and you're going to see many miracles and powerful things in your ministry, but don't let that be your greatest joy. Let your greatest joy be your relationship with me. Destroying the works of the devil is temporary, but your relationship with me is eternal. One day soon there will be no more devil to war against. There will be no more strongholds and bondages to pull down. There will be no more people who need to be set free from the works of the enemy. But your relationship with me is eternal. You are saved to be my child forever and to eternally walk in an intimate relationship with your Father. Let that be your greatest and weightiest joy. The Lord really just stirred my heart and spoke that into my heart. So here's the very heart of my message this morning. I'm going to read it again right from my journal. If I would say this is the heart of the message. The Lord said, Tim, always remember, I love my table time with you. I love that time where we just sit together in fellowship, enjoying one another's company. And that has become so real and so personal in my life that I have incorporated in my devotional life what I call table time with Jesus. It's something that I've really incorporated into my devotional life, table time with Jesus. So let me ask a question. So what is table time with Jesus? What are you talking about when you say spending table time with Jesus? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it's not. Table time with Jesus, it's not a deep study in the Word. It's not a time of conviction and repentance. It's not a time of telling Jesus how sorry I am for all the mistakes I've made. And it's not a time of mourning over my failures. That's not table time with Jesus. And please don't misunderstand me. I have these times with the Lord. Trust me, I have my times of confession and repentance with the Lord. But see, the problem is I can get so consumed by my failures that I'll devour all my devotional time with Jesus mourning over my failures. I mean, that's just something that comes so easy for me. My whole devotional life can just become about telling Jesus how sorry I am for all the mistakes I've made and for all my failures. I mean, that is so easy. It can become my devotional time with the Lord. But there are times I just walk into my prayer closet and I sense the Lord say, Tim, I just want to have table time with you. I just want to have table time with you. So then what is table time with Jesus? Well, it's two things. First of all, it's a time of reflecting upon the great delight and pleasure that God has in my life and just basking and thanking him for the joy that he has in my life. Table time with Jesus. Let me just give you a few examples. Oh God, I thank you that you celebrate my life. Luke chapter 15, verse 25, and as the eldest son drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. Oh God, I thank you that you joyfully sing over my life. Zephaniah 3:17, he will rejoice over you with joy. Isaiah 62:5, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will I rejoice over you. Oh God, I just thank you that you joyfully sing over my life. Zephaniah 3:17, he will joy over you with singing. Oh God, I thank you that you love me with a love that's forever. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Oh God, I thank you that the precious, wonderful thoughts that you think toward me are so many, they can't be counted. Psalm 139, verse 17, how precious are your thoughts toward me, oh God. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the sand of my sea. So what is my table time with Jesus? It's just that time where I soak up the pleasure and the delight God has in my life. It's that time where I just allow the Lord to rejoice over me and sing over me and rejoice over me. That's my table time with Jesus. Tim, I just want table time with you. I just want you to open your heart and let me sing over you. Let me dance over you. Let me celebrate over you. Let me rejoice over you. So that's number one. Number two, what is table time with Jesus? It's the time of reflecting upon the simplicity that Jesus loves me. Just reflecting on it. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It's just a time of reflecting upon that simplicity that Jesus loves me. Now, here's where I feel led to go with this. Can you believe it? My sermon's almost over. But here's where I feel led to go with this. Because the Lord has placed this message on my heart, I believe there are people here he wants to draw into table time. I believe there are people here he wants to draw you into that time where you just bask in the pleasure of God. There are people here that the Lord just wants to draw into that time that where you quit mourning over your mistakes and your failures and you just let Jesus love on you. People that he just wants to draw into that time with him. But somebody would say, but Pastor Tim, that's not always easy. The battles in the mind are so difficult. And can I just tell you, I know that. I understand that. You know, I want to show you in the scriptures after I got saved where I spent a lot of my devotional life at with God. Just want to show you where I spent many days in my devotional life with God. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look with me at verse 1. It says, in 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Table time with Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, a perfume, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. So here we see in verse 3, we see the beauty of table time. through Mary's life, we see the freedom that we have just to come into the presence of the Lord and open our hearts to the Lord and just love on the Lord, just to pour our adoration upon the Lord. We have the freedom just to come into his presence and kneel at his feet and just open our hearts like that perfume and just pour all of our affection upon Jesus and all of our devotion upon Jesus, all of our gratefulness upon Jesus. I mean, we have that incredible freedom. To me, verse 3 is just such a very intimate picture of what it means to have table time with the Lord. But here is the problem. This is where so many people get bound up, and this is where I spent much of my devotional time with the Lord when I got saved. Look with me at verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, Why was this fragrant oil not sold 300 denarii and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and was control of the money in the box. So capture this. Mary is worshiping the Lord, pouring out her heart upon Jesus. And what happens? Here's what happens. The voice of the accuser invades her place of worship. The voice of the condemner invades her place of worship. And what was the condemner's argument? Well, look with me again. Look with me at verse 5, chapter 12, verse 5. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Does everybody see that word given in your Bible? Do you see the word given? Do you see the word given? This was the enemy's argument. You haven't given enough. You're holding out on Jesus. There's more that you should be giving him. And I want you to understand, this is nothing but the voice of the devil. You realize that, right? This is nothing but the voice of the devil. He's coming to kill the beauty of her time with Jesus. He's coming to kill the beauty of her intimacy with Jesus. He's coming to kill the beauty of her worship with Jesus. And his argument is you just haven't given you enough. And can I tell you something? I've lived under this voice for years. Like Mary, this is the way I used to spend my time at the table with Jesus. I know this voice. It's the voice that says you haven't given enough. You haven't given enough of your heart. You haven't given enough of your life. You haven't given enough of yourself. You haven't given enough of your time. You haven't given enough of your will. In other words, the enemy's argument is this. You are not living the sacrificial life Jesus has called his people to. That's the argument. And I lived under that voice for years. You're still holding on. There's more yet to surrender. Why are you holding back from the Lord? You haven't given enough of yourself, your time, your heart. In other words, why do you think you can come into the Lord's presence and enjoy the Lord's presence when God is looking at you saying, you're holding on, you're not giving it all. Where is it? Give it all, give it all. When you give it all, then you can enjoy my presence. Then you can enjoy table time. Then you can worship me with freedom in your heart, but you haven't given it all yet. And I believe there are people right under my voice that know what I'm talking about. Some of us don't, but some of us do. And those that do will tell you it's an awful place to live. So I know table time with Jesus isn't always easy. But here's the good news. Jesus did not leave Mary in that horrible, wretched, miserable, whatever other adjectives I can throw in there, place. Look with me at verse 7. But Jesus said, let her alone. Stop. I don't need to read anything else. I don't need to read nothing else. In other words, Jesus spoke with such authority that he shut the mouth of the devil. He spoke with such authority that he killed the voice of the condemner. And my point that I'm making is this. Some of us will never hear Jesus speak audibly to the devil, shut up and leave him alone, shut up and leave her alone, because he's now ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit in us is training us to stand in the authority and freedom of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is training us how to shut the mouth of the devil. The Holy Spirit is training us to stand in the authority of His word over every argument and accusation of the enemy. He's training us how to say, let him alone. You know, I believe with all my heart when the enemy comes and attacks our minds with his lies, I actually believe it's the Lord allowing it. Because he wants to use it to train us how to stand on his word and defeat the lies of the enemy. Sometimes when the enemy is really attacking our mind, just because the Lord is letting out the leash, saying, sick him, sick him, sick him, sick him, get him. And when the lies come like an angry pit bull, the Lord says, now what are you going to do? Pick up my word. Learn how to fight with my word. Learn how to stand in authority with my word. You take authority because my presence lives in you. So I know all about table time with Jesus when it's hard. When the voice of the condemner tries to live there with you. Amen? Well, here's the part where I feel like the Lord is saying, stop preaching now. Because now I want to do something. My word has gone forth. The power of my word has gone forth. Now by my spirit, I want to do something. So let's obey the Lord. Would you stand with me? Musicians, if you could come up. I want to give an altar call for the people who live under the voice of the condemner. I want to give an altar call for that people who would say to me, Pastor Tim, I just live under this condemning voice that is always telling me I'm not good enough, I'm not pleasing enough, I'm not holy enough. I feel like no matter what I do or how hard I try, God is always disappointed with me. And because of this voice, I have no real joy in my heart. It's so hard to have joy when I just feel like my life is so unpleasing to the Lord. And this morning, I just recognize it's the voice of the condemner trying to steal my joy with Jesus. So I'm not even going to wait for the band to play. You can start playing anytime. But if anybody says, that's me, I want you to meet me down in the altar. It might be just one or two, it might be many. But if you would say, that's me, I live under the voice of the condemner. And it's just so hard to enjoy my time with Jesus and enjoy my walk with Jesus because I just live under this voice that's always telling me I'm not good enough, I'm not pleasing enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not grateful enough, there's always more I need to give. Just take a moment. There's something the Lord is leading me to do, but I don't feel to do it yet. Can you sing? Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Let's get at the table. Come on. Everybody in your pews, let's get at the table this morning. Close your eyes. Begin to worship the Lord. Begin to bask in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is here. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. All right, here's what we're going to do. Everyone look at me. I know you're in a place of worship, but look at me a moment. You know, this morning I got up really early, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do for an altar call? What do you want me to do, Lord? What can I possibly do to break this voice of the condemner? It has to be supernatural. If people are going to walk away from this altar free from the voice of the condemner, it has to be supernatural. So I've been asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord reminded me of a dream that he had given me when I was a student 30 years ago, my first year here as a student. And in this dream, I was surrounded by a hostile mob of people. I was trapped. I couldn't get away. And they were speaking very vile things, very malicious things. I mean, they were just very evil things. I can't even speak what they were saying. And I was trying to find a way of an escape, but I couldn't find a way of escape. And so I just stood in the middle of all the voices, and I closed my eyes and I lifted my hands. I began to worship the Lord. And as I'm worshiping the Lord, I still hear all these voices, but I'm just worshiping the Lord. I'm singing a love song to Jesus. And then I look up to heaven and I open my eyes. And I saw a cloud in the shape of a man's face. And this man was smiling down on me. And I could just feel the joy in this man's heart, who I knew represented God, over my life. And suddenly, as I'm watching this, my father rejoice over me, I felt his delight and pleasure rise up in my heart. And suddenly those voices around me lost all its power. Just knowing the joy of my father broke the voice of the condemner. And here's what I feel like the Lord wants us to do. I feel like the Lord said, Tim, if you can call my people just to sing a couple of songs and worship me, I'm going to smile upon them today. And I'm going to break that voice over their mind. I'm going to break that voice over their life. And they're going to walk out of here free. And they're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord like they've never enjoyed the presence of the Lord, because they're free. And it's something I'm going to do. I'm going to smile upon them. So here's what I want you to do. You can stay in the altar or you can stand, but let's just worship the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Are you grateful to the Lord? Let's worship the Lord. Come on, stand with me, or just right where you're kneeling. There's something about lifting your hands. I just feel that's in my heart. So can we just lift our hands and sing some love songs to Jesus? Whatever you have, let's do it. And while you're doing that, the Lord's going to smile upon you. And he's going to break that voice. He's going to break that voice. So let's worship the Lord.